Sign now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. Now in its 34th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is David Snow, who is a health expert but not a doctor. And while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their area of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a medical condition that requires treatment, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Dr. Mills of Mission Hills will give your face a lift. He's got the most outstanding skills, or some would say a gift. He offers lipo, tummy tucks, and implants, small or large. You look just like $1 million. And yes, that's what he'll charge. Welcome to one doctor's appointment that doesn't cost you a thing, but it helps you feel like $1 million, hopefully. And we appreciate you tuning in to the healthiest hour on radio. It's the Snowman with you, David Snow, keeping you cool and healthy, as we do at each and every week at this time here on the program. And we thank you so very much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend, which we always hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. Today on the program, Dr. Doug Slakey is my guest. He is an author of The Process Manifesto, Improving Healthcare in a Complex World. What is more complex than medical care? I don't know. I mean, just take insurance care for one. I mean, you need a degree of some kind just to understand the and navigate the insurance, the health insurance that everybody has, no matter what your policy is. It is a convoluted process. But anyway, Dr. Slakey will be with us in just a few short radio minutes. He is a recognized transplant surgeon with more than 30 years of experience. His philosophy is patient-centric medical care. What a concept. He was professor and chair of surgery at Tulane University from 1997 to 2018 and has a wealth of medical experience. And so we will talk to him in just a few minutes in honor partially of Doctor's Day. Today, every March 30th is Doctor's Day. So for all of you health professionals out there that listen to the program, we have a lot of doctors that tune into the show. Happy Doctor's Day. What we do without you? Saving lives and improving health of populations. So appreciate, so grateful to have as many doctors as we do. All right, let's get on to some news you can use. Let's start with our quote of the week. A healthy attitude is contagious, but don't wait to catch it from others. Be a carrier. Yes, spread the virus of good health and a good attitude. All right, elsewhere in news, even one daily interaction with a friend can reduce stress and boost well-being. While digital connections do have benefits, meeting face-to-face is much more powerful. As I like to always tease Facebook and Instasham and LinkedIn and all the other anti-social media sites. All right, let's see elsewhere. Study in the British Medical Journal. This is interesting. They found that curcumin, the active compound in the spice turmeric, may be just as good for treating indigestion as pharmaceuticals. How about that? Curcumin coats the stomach lining to combat excess acid. It doesn't turn off the acid production in your body like drugs do, but it just helps to reduce excess acid. And in matters of longevity, in a study of more than 1 million people, this was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, participants that had higher levels of cardiorespiratory fitness in young adulthood had a lower risk of developing 9 different types of cancer later on in life. So what better investment in your health than exercise, right? Okay, moving on. A study by Queen Mary University in London found that, like long COVID, long colds may also exist where people suffer symptoms from respiratory infection, you know, flus and colds and pneumonia, respiratory ailments. And the most common symptom were coughing and diarrhea and stomach pains 11 weeks after infection. So long colds as well as long COVID is evident, or you know, it's prominent in a lot of people that have respiratory illness. And so that's why it's always good to keep your immune system up no matter what time of year it is. And let's see, where else are we going here? One tip that I have, and I've given it before, this is in regard to stepping, steps you need to reap the highest amount of health benefits, 8,000 steps a day. You know, you've heard of 10,000, and some say, oh, you only need 4,000 to 6,000. Well, the more steps, the better. As I always say, movement is like money. The more, you know, a little is better than none, more is better than less. But according to one study, they found that faster walking is associated with a reduced risk of premature death, regardless of the total number of steps taken. So, that reminds me of one quote that I gave years ago, and that is to drive 10 to 20% slower, because most people drive over the speed limit, and walk 10 to 20% faster, because most people walk too slow. You know, and, if you just pick up the pace, you'll do a lot for your health. All right, elsewhere in news. Oh, with tomorrow being Easter, many of you will be either dyeing Easter eggs or having an Easter hunt, or just eating them as many of us do for the rest of the year, not just on Easter Sunday. But here's some facts about eggs that are interesting. White and brown eggs, which is more nutritious? Let's ask our producer, which would you say is more nutritious, white or brown, Ryan?
Brown.
Brown. Wrong. They are identical. But brown is, you know, it's perceived to be healthier because there's not many because there's not as many brown eggs as white, and also in most of the health food stores are brown versus the white. But the white eggs have not been bleached. It's nothing to do with that. It's just the type of chickens. But usually the nutrients in the egg itself are identical. And actually, eggs come in an array of shades, everything from cream and pink to blue and green. You know, you've heard of Dr. Seuss's green eggs and ham, which I had this morning. No, I'm just kidding. But color of an egg shell makes no difference in the nutrition or taste or the inside of the egg. It's still, you know, yellow and white. Now, eggs, as you know, are a great source of protein, both quantity and quality. In fact, eggs are the gold standard for the sources of amino acids. They have all the amino acids for muscle growth and development of your, or maintenance of your tissue as far as quality protein. And, you know, there's some vitamin A and D, your fat-soluble vitamins, a few B vitamins, and lutein, which is in the yolk that makes the yolk that bright orange-yellow that you see. Lutein is a carotenoid, which is good for the eyes and skin and other parts of the body. But anyway, in the 1960s and 70s, American Heart Association warned against eating three eggs or more than three eggs a week. Well, that research has since been debunked, concluding there's no definitive link between eating eggs and an increase in blood cholesterol. It's, you know, other things that, I mean, people eat bacon with eggs and, you know, butter and other things, and they fry the eggs too, and too high a temperature, and they use, you know, shortening or margarine to fry the eggs. But anyway, original research on eggs, as I remember, decades ago, it was done on bunnies, you know, rabbits, speaking of Easter. And unfortunately, rabbits are natural vegetarians, so of course their cholesterol is going to go up. That was the wrong animal to choose for cholesterol studies on animals. Okay, chocolate eggs. Are you having, you know, do they have the same nutritional value as regular eggs?
Well, no.
That's right. They do not. Americans, though, eat roughly 90 million of them every spring. In fact, Easter is the highest earning chocolate or for sales of chocolate of any holiday. If you're going to eat eggs or chocolate eggs, make sure it's a dark chocolate, you know, at least 70% cacao. That way you're getting more of the benefits of the cocoa and not as much sugar. Eggs Benedict. You know where that comes from? Eggs Benedict?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a soft-boiled egg on an open-faced sandwich smothered in hollandaise sauce, which ruins the health benefits of the egg. But it's believed to be named for Mrs. LeGrand Benedict, who ordered eggs this way in Delmonico's restaurant in New York City back in the 1860s. Now, during the Industrial Revolution, poached was the usual style of preparing eggs. Today's people's preference is boiled, hard-boiled in the northern states, soft-boiled in the south. And what animal lays the largest eggs? Any idea, Ryan?
Rabbit?
No, not rabbit. Ostriches. Ostrich has an egg that averages nearly 6 inches long, 5 inches wide, and 3 pounds, which is about 3 pounds is like a dozen regular eggs, you know, that you buy in the stores. But anyway, okay, so much for eggs. Oh, and if you're dyeing eggs tomorrow and for Easter weekend, you might like to know that you don't have to revert to those food colorings of synthetic colors and that most stores sell for Easter, because there are bright colors and as well as pastel colors and natural colorful extracts. Companies have them out. You can buy them, such as Abbey's Health and Nutrition, I believe, sells them here in Tampa, or go to your local natural food store. Or you can make your own using plant compounds like the spice turmeric, which I mentioned earlier, for that yellow-orange egg color, beet extract for pink or red, or you can even dye them purple with beet juice. And spirulina algae gives you a blue-green color for your Easter eggs. And it's not expensive. All right. Speaking of cholesterol, which I mentioned, the average hen's egg, chicken egg, has right around 200 milligrams of cholesterol. I recently was in a store that sold duck eggs, so I thought, oh, I'm curious, what's the cholesterol level? You know, they had to have it stated on the package, on the label. And I looked at it. 600 milligrams in a duck egg. That's three times what you get in a hen's egg. So if you're on a low cholesterol diet, beware of duck eggs. Okay. All right. Let's see elsewhere in the news. We got to breeze through these articles. Sleep, one of the core practices, I should say, of good health. Now, scientists from Michigan State University and the University of Pittsburgh tested two popular ways of compensating for sleep deprivation, caffeine and napping. I think my producer is engaging in those right now, right? Uh-huh. Looks like you didn't have enough sleep, Brian. But anyway, researchers compared cognitive tests, the results of people who slept and then those who stayed up all night, and then they could tell the difference, of course. But sleeplessness took a toll on the people's ability to stay focused on a task and also follow complex sets of directions. Now, consuming caffeine equal to 2 cups of coffee improved focus, but not direction. Taking a 30 to 60 minute nap did not fully restore brain function either. So loading up on caffeine and taking a couple naps, it may help you get through the day, but it's not going to have you performing at your best. So no substitute for sleep. And our health tip of the week is take a walk in the park, because today, March 30th, is Take a Walk in the Park Day. Find a park, your favorite park near you, park your car, truck, or bike, and take a walk in nature. What better activity to do this weekend than that? And it's spring, so it should be warm enough for any of you. And even if it's inclement weather, just go prepared. All right, let's talk about glove love. Not love gloves. Sometimes condoms are called love gloves, but I'm talking about glove love, the history of medical gloves. This is interesting. Did you know that up until 1965, surgical gloves were actually sterilized and reused? The Ansel Rubber Company, already a high-volume producer of such gloves at the time, developed a sterilization process using gamma-ray technology called Gamex. Well, the method is of the sterilization is still used to this day, but now being able to manufacture large quantities of gloves with quick and effective or cost-effective methods of sterilization, gloves went from being reusable to disposable. And in just a few minutes, we'll have our guest on, Dr. Doug Slakey, who I'm sure has, in his long medical career, I used probably thousands of medical gloves during his practice as a surgeon. All right, let's go to the finish file. Now, we've all seen women at the gym that are so made up, it looks like they're ready to go out on for a night out on the town, right? But is there a hazard to wearing makeup during exercise? Well, yes, there is. Listen, wearing foundation while exercising may affect skin health by stopping pores from opening and releasing sebum. Now, sebum is a natural compound that your skin produces to keep it healthy. This was research from Texas A&M University where they recruited 43 college students, 20 men and 23 women. A single layer of foundation was applied to a part of the participants' faces, and then they were asked to run for 20 minutes on a treadmill. Well, after the workout, researchers repeated the skin measurements and found that there was less sebum on the areas of foundation than the areas that were not covered in the makeup. And so they say that foundation restricted pores from naturally enlarging during exercise, preventing them from the release of sebum and sweat, which moisturizes and cools the skin. So, you know, at the expense of not looking quite as attractive, women, you want to, you know, lose the makeup while you're actually working out, all right? Okay, let's save this next fitness article for next week since we're running behind the clock. Let's go to matters of sexual health. Attention women, lasting pain after a UTI may be due to excess nerve cells, I should say. Pain that persists even after a urinary tract infection has supposedly passed seems to be down to an overgrowth of nerve cells in the bladder. This was research at Duke University. After the treatment, some people still had the same symptoms, urinary tract infection symptoms, the pain, even after the infection was long gone. Well, they say that those with the symptoms had overgrowths of nerve cells in the bladders compared to other women that did not have the infections. And the nerve cells also had a higher level of peptide P, a substance which causes pain and inflammation. So if it's persistent pain you may be feeling, even after the infection has cleared, it's not in your head. This is what's happening. You have an overgrowth of nerve cells. All right, finally in the Funny Bone Pharmacy. Okay. God populated the earth with vegetables of all kinds so man would live a long and healthy life. And Satan created the 99 cheeseburger. And size with that? Supersize them, and man gained pounds. And God, well, he created beautiful yogurt, or healthful yogurt, I should say. And Satan froze the yogurt and brought forth chocolate, nuts, and brightly colored candy to put on top. And man gained more pounds. And God brought forth running shoes, and man resolved to lose. And Satan brought forth cable TV, remote control, and potato chips. And man clutched his remote and ate his chips. Satan saw this and said, "It is good." And man went into cardiac arrest. And God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. And Satan created HMOs. Right. Okay, that's it for the Health Hotline News as well as the Funny Bone Pharmacy. We will be back with more information for your good health as we are joined by Dr. Doug Slakey talking about making sense in the complex medical world and improving healthcare with all its complexities, how to navigate healthcare successfully and be a healthier person in the process. Stick around if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
At Essential Formulas, we provide the immune essentials for your family's health this winter. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and RegActive. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, recognized as a worldwide leader in probiotic digestive health. Since 70% of your immune cells reside in your gut, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics have an impressive effect on immune health too. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contain over 500 postbiotic metabolites, shown to help support immune function. Certified vegetarian, free of gluten, dairy, and GMOs. A powerful immune option. RegActive formulas help boost levels of glutathione, the body's most essential antioxidant, which decreases as we age. Maintaining glutathione levels is key in overall health protection. Be proactive about your immune health. Look for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics and RegActive at natural health retailers and online today.
Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nagata.
Where did you get that smile that makes you you? Where did you get that confidence that lets you look like you do? Oh, what a look. Yes, you're looking good. You take care of your teeth just like you should. Where did you get that smile, the one that belongs to you? Nothing looks so right than a smile that's so bright. Tell me, where did you get that smile? You can smile so beautifully. Beautiful smiles are our specialty. Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nagata.
Copycats? They're out there. Be strong and healthy. Tune in to the big dog. Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol.
Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, as well as Amazon.com. For a complete list of retailers, visit clear.com. That's XLEAR.com.
You make me feel so young.
Well, hopefully our guest will do that, making us feel younger and younger. Hey, from cancer to cholesterol, vaccines to vitamins, if it has to do with your health, you'll hear it here on Dr. Health, radio's original health news magazine for over 30 years. My guest in this segment of the program, Dr. Doug Sklecki. He is the author of The Process Manifesto, Improving Healthcare in a Complex World. He's an internationally recognized transplant surgeon with more than 30 years of experience, and his philosophy, fortunately, is patient-centric medical care, and we'd like to welcome him to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Dr. Sklecki. How the health are you?
Good morning. Just great, fortunately, and so glad to be here.
Well, glad to have you there at the other end of the microphone. And first of all, happy Doctor's Day. Did you know every March 30th is Doctor's Day?
Yes, I sure do. And, you know, it's a great day to celebrate what everyone in the healthcare system is striving to do. And that's, you know, really to do our part to make patient care better and to help patients through their healthcare journey. So
absolutely. Yeah, you know, your occupation, it helps, I mean, all the doctors in the world and our country, of course, help us or to stay healthy, and sometimes they're life-saving. You know, they also treat disease or disasters or emergencies. I mean, the medicine here in America is the best in the world as far as ER medicine goes, and so we want to recognize and honor every doctor in the healing profession, no matter what their specialty may be. And I know that yours is being a surgeon. Tell us how you got into that field first and why you wrote the book, The Process Manifesto.
Yeah, well, it's like everyone who goes into healthcare, it's a sort of a journey. And You know, one of the most interesting things to me as I reflect on how I chose transplant surgery and how I've counseled so many students and residents over the years, a lot of it, you know, really depends on happenstance. And what I mean by that is you happen to be in a situation or an environment, a time in your life where you meet people as mentors that in one perspective or another really resonate. And that's exactly what happened to me. I was first-year resident in general surgery and happened to do a rotation with the transplant surgeons. And it just instantly clicked to me that a field that was technically really engaging, but also had this concept of long-term patient care and really becoming part of the patient's family and journey. And so that really resonated with me. And I'll tell you, like a lot of doctors, I've always had, you know, some challenges with hospital operators getting you. So many of my patients over the years have my cell phone. And to this day, it's a real blessing to get texts and messages, especially around the holiday time for patients, gosh, that I may have done a liver transplant on 20 years ago. And they text me, and it's good to know they're still alive.
Right.
Well, and it's a feedback. And, you know, you asked about the book, The Process Manifesto, and it really, I think sort of my professional journey, really, as I got into leadership and became involved in global healthcare initiatives, I really, you know, thought about how important it is that we have systems in place that allow the frontline providers to really work at top of license. And so I really devoted my scholarly activity and now this stage of my career to helping leaders empower teams to be more effective and efficient, really on the front lines of care delivery.
Okay, now, Dr. Slakey, let me ask you, is your book more for laymen or is it more for health professionals? I mean, if it's a person that doesn't really understand medical care, are they still going to get benefit from the book and reading the Process Manifesto?
Well, I really wrote it to be approachable by anybody, from healthcare leaders and policymakers to patients advocating for their own healthcare. And you know, I came up with this concept when I was writing the book and working with my publicist that at some point in our lives, each one of us is a caregiver and each one of us is a patient.
That's right.
And so I really tried to incorporate this idea that our healthcare system, our healthcare delivery, is really a continuum. And I purposefully try to advocate for dispelling that us versus them challenge that we often find ourselves in.
Well, I like your philosophy of patient-centric medical care. I mean, what a concept. It should be common sense, but it's not always common sense because you have the insurance providers involved, you have the big business of hospitals and AMA, you know, just the whole medical model or establishment that is just a behemoth of confusion and complexity. And so does your book really simplify the complexity of healthcare? I mean, I was thinking, just driving to the station, just the complexity of insurance. I mean, you need a degree just to understand your own insurance policy, no matter who you're insured with. I mean, there's so many loopholes that they have and the different aspects of your policy that where you may or may not be covered. One of my favorite quotes that I heard was, health insurance is kind of like a hospital gown. You're never covered as much as you think you are. And I think it's so true, really. I think that's true.
It's so true. And I'm sure we could all tell so many anecdotal stories. But, really my focus in the book is to advocate for complex system management theory. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we have to understand that there's really sort of three descriptions of systems. So linear, highly predictable systems. Complicated, that could be like an air transportation system where there are uncertainties like the weather, but we can sort of predict the consequences. And then complex, where it's never fully knowable. There are variables and differences which are inevitable, and we can't completely prepare for them. Mm-hmm. But what we can do is we can align knowledge, so that would be education, skill, and experience, with information, which I'm super optimistic about, where we're going with turning data into actionable information. And then really the third thing is aligning resources at the point of care delivery to meet individual need and individual circumstances.
Well, that sounds too logical to, it makes too much sense.
Well, it's, it's so interesting. As I started really thinking about complex system theories, I was working with a professor of economics in Chicago.
Dr. Slaky, can I just stop you? We're a little late in taking a bottom of our break. Can you hold that thought and come back with it when we take this brief break? My guest, if you're just joining us, Dr. Doug Slaky, the author of the new Process Manifesto, Improving Healthcare in a Complex World. When we come back, Dr. Slaky, I want to ask you about empowering people on the front lines of healthcare to do the right thing the first time around. What a concept that is. I mean, why isn't it done more often? And also, a little later, Dr. AI, I have an interesting article on artificial intelligence. And, of course, everybody goes to Dr. Google first, it seems, then before they go to their, regular GP or a specialist for that matter. So we'll talk about that as well. Back after this with more information for your good health here on Dr. Health. I'm David Snow. Stick around if you want to stay healthy.
Do you sometimes suffer from gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, or irritable bowel syndrome? You need to know about the Friendly Foursome. Master Supplements, the leaders in safe and effective intestinal health products, offer four supplements that may reinvent your intestinal tract. First, there's Theralac, America's fastest acting medical strength probiotic. Find out why Theralac's regular customers become, regular customers. Just go to theralac.com for more information. Then there's True Fiber, clinically proven to improve regularity as well as lowering cholesterol. True Fiber is also uniquely formulated to stimulate probiotics. Third in the Friendly Foursome is Enzylase, the strongest enzyme available. With high potencies of 12 different digestive enzymes, Enzylase makes short work of fatty meals and dairy products, as well as normally gas-producing foods such as beans. Finally, there's True Flora, the fastest-acting bio-cleansing probiotic. True Flora is so potent, the recommended dose is only 2 per week. This is the premier traveler's supplement. Don't go on a trip without taking True Flora. See the Friendly Foursome of Master Supplement products at your favorite natural food store. Theralac, True Fiber, Enzylase, and True Flora for the best intestinal health of your life.
When choosing a food supplement, what's most important to you? If you said safe, effective, contaminant-free, and non-GMO, 100% of the population agrees with you. So out of the thousands of brands out there, which one do you choose? Natural Factors is the healthiest choice. For over 60 years, family-owned Natural Factors has been committed to the quality of their products, excellence in science and education, and caring for people and planet. And with over 900,000 square feet of manufacturing, Natural Factors is big enough to do it it right. They are also one of the only companies to do it all, with their own certified organic farms, over 2,000 acres, their own extraction, encapsulation, laboratory, and research facilities, plus a vast network of academic and scientific experts. From farm to shelf, you can trust Natural Factors to bring you the best food supplements available anywhere. And they're available at your nearest natural food store, or go to naturalfactors.com.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Snow.
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 It is. David Snow on your radio. Here at Dr. Health Radio, we help you with your health care so you won't have to worry about having a health scare. And that would be scary for sure. And we're joined by Dr. Doug Slakey, who has a new book on the Process Manifesto, Improving Healthcare in a Complex World. So that we hopefully won't have a health scare in the future. And you're preparing patients as well as health professionals for, as you mentioned, Dr. Slakey, things that are sometimes anticipated but not encountered until you have an emergency or a loved one or yourself is your health is affected negatively or adversely. So let's talk about, I know you have 10 core principles for this complex system of management and healthcare. Can you go through some of those to help enlighten us in that regard?
Yeah, I'd love to, David. So the first and foremost, we finished right before the break talking about being patient-centric. And that, it's so important to understand the key thing, and we finished right before the break talking about being patient-centric. And I think that's really the first starting place. And what we have to realize is that in many instances, we've tried to create a standardized approach. And standards are good, but if you're too reductionist and you try to think that every single human being, every patient is identical, it's really a false narrative. And so what we really need to focus on is not how the process works within the process, like how many minutes do you spend with a patient, how many minutes is a patient, in the hospital, or how many days. But what we really need to focus on is the ultimate patient outcome. Has the patient achieved the healthcare goals that the doctor and the patient and their family have agreed on up front? That's the first thing. So I like to say that we need standards without over-standardization. If in a high reliability industry, a high reliability concept, we have to have processes that are flexible and enable people to respond to what they're seeing, to have situational awareness, what they're seeing at the specific time. And the other thing to really think about, which I think is important, is that in our complex healthcare system, we talk about waste, but unfortunately, and we could do a whole show on this, is one person's waste is often another person's profit. And and what we need to think about is, from the patient's perspective, where are they going in their healthcare journey? The other thing, just briefly, that I emphasize in the book is that, we focus so much on the doctor patient encounter, because that's what's documented nowadays in the electronic health record. But of course, that's only one tiny snapshot of the patient's actual entire healthcare journey, right? It extends far beyond that. And so what I emphasize in the book is designing processes that really allow us to focus on the ultimate outcome of the patient's health and what they've achieved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned reductionist and standardization. I think what you're kind of getting at is the art and science of medicine. I mean, sometimes it's as much an art as it is the science, and you can't always rely on a test. So sometimes it's the doctor's interpretation of a test, and that brings me to something we're going to talk about on the next segment, and that is artificial intelligence. It doesn't have that nuance always, and it fails in that regard to really address that, and then sometimes that's the difference between healing and not healing, or just the success of treating the patient in the long term. Now, you mentioned also empowering people on the front lines in your book, The Process Manifesto, and healthcare and the healthcare profession. Doing the right thing the first time, it seems like common sense, but why isn't it done more often, and how can we change the system?
Well, I think, when so often, and we see this with burnout and learned helplessness and frustration, is that the expectation of physicians, and the whole provider team for that matter, is to try to force patients into a pre-existing model, one that they mm-hmm. think can be highly predicted. And patients bring their own unique attributes to everything we do. And I'll give you one just really quick example that I use. I say, so I could see two patients that have an identical inguinal hernia, need the same exact surgery. And let's say they both have diabetes. So we checked the little box. But what if I told you one patient, college educated, wealthy family in the suburbs, lots of support. The other patient, a single woman in public housing with no car, no transportation, and no immediate family. So we checked the little boxes. We say, okay, they're both diabetic. They both need the same surgery. But even common sense tells us those two patients are very, very different. Their risks are different, their outcomes, their needs. And so what I mean by empowering teams is to actually be able to help the patient and interpret what the patient's going to need to be successful. They both may need the same surgery,
right?
But the resources they need to have the same outcome are quite different in that example. And I think as doctors, we see that every single day, and we try our best to be able to contribute meaningfully to patients' health, but sometimes we feel like we're very restricted in our ability to respond to individual variation.
All right. On that note, Dr. Slicky, we need to take one last break of the hour. And when we come back, I want to cover this article with you, share this information with the listeners and you, with not only Dr. Google, but now people are going to Dr. AI before they go to any other doctor. And what are the hazards of doing that? My guest, Dr. Doug Slicky, the author of The Process Manifesto, will tell you how to get his book when we return from this brief break. So much more information to come here on The Healthiest Hour on Radio. I'm David Snow. Don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
Yoni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Yoni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Yoni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Yoni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Yoni fruit leather and lavender Yoni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Yoni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 50% of all American adults and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost one-third of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure, or hypertension, is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risks. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically shown to support healthy blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Kyolic Blood Pressure Health Formula 109 is available at natural health stores nationwide and online.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
Welcome back to your weekly Cure for the Common radio show and your weekly dose of Vermal Vitamins, here where we help you test positive for good health, because we're all about indoctrinating you into the habits of good health. And if you're just joining us, Dr. Doug Slakey is a guest of our show today. He is on the boards of major medical journals and has authored more than 150 peer-reviewed articles. And he's a surgeon with 30 years of experience, transplant surgeon, I might add. And we'd like to ask him how we can get his book, The Process Manifesto. Doctor, how can we get it?
Yeah, so it's available on Amazon and also at booksellers, usually by special order. But Amazon is the easiest way to get it. And readers can also look at, or listeners, I mean, you can also look at my website. It's just douglasslakey.com. And I have a lot more information on there, too.
Okay, and let me spell your name out. S-L-A-K-E-Y as in key.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, let's continue our conversation now. I have this article about... Dr. AI, you know, it can result in a dire diagnosis, which may not be reality, because it's not putting the information in context. So they're saying that artificial intelligence trained, artificial intelligence is trained using books and scientific research, data, et cetera, from the internet. And it can also generate answers to questions, but that it doesn't mean that these tools are qualified to diagnose symptoms or dish out health advice for that matter. This according to Dr. Benjamin Tolchin, a neurologist in Connecticut. He says the technology is new and has serious pitfalls, including gender or racial bias, as well as privacy concerns and hallucinations, which is a term used to describe chat boxes' occasional tendency to generate false facts. Geez, I mean, that's a minor little detail that is of utmost importance, right? And then the article concludes that saying that chatbots lack real-life context, which I mentioned before the break, and may lead a person to focus on the worst-case scenario, it can also help, of course, for research, but there's no substitute for consulting a real doctor like yourself. So, Jared, comment on this?
Yeah, I think those warnings are so timely and appropriate, and I think they're accurate. On the other hand, I'm an optimist when it comes to different types of advanced analytics, whether it's machine learning or AI. Because, you know, one of the challenges, and I talk about this in my book, is that as physicians, as leaders of healthcare teams, we need information. And information, in my mind, is a little different than just having data. I mean, we've all seen, you know, the Excel spreadsheet where we look at retrospective data, which, by the way, is usually billing data, right?
Right.
Normal healthcare record. And what we really need is information to help us understand what are we seeing? What do we need to focus on? What do we need to interpret? And again, having some analysis that allows us to incorporate context, so everything from social determinants to genetics, into the way we create a healthcare prescription for our patients is going to be helpful. You know, it's sort of like we've all been in an airplane probably before we leave, and the pilots are testing the systems, and you hear the electronic voice say, wind shear, stall, pull up. I mean, a lot of us have heard that. And that's what I mean.
Let me stop you there. What airlines do you take where they say that? Because I haven't ever experienced that, and I fly quite a bit.
Yeah, well, if you listen, if the pilots are testing,
I believe you.
And a lot of the high reliability teams I worked with over the years, especially internationally, we had experts from aviation.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, yeah, my point is that you could have the raw data.
Sure.
That said, oh, here's the wind speed, here's the different, you know, wind velocities, but that translates into information that improves and human performance, and that's the key, and that's really what I talk a lot about when we think about how do we make processes work for the doctor and mm-hmm. the patient and community is. We need to take that data and we need to provide it in the form of information that the physician can then use. It doesn't mean that you have to do what the information is telling you, but you use that as part of your expertise and part of the situational awareness that, mm-hmm. that you're seeing at the time. So I totally agree with the cautions about moving, you know, and relying on artificial intelligence, because we all have to realize that what AI is coding
okay.
that some human being does, and then the models are trained, and we don't know the amount or type of data that really the models are using.
Yeah, of course. You know, you put in junk, you get junk out, right? I mean,
that's
what you
right.
feed it. And I always mention, I say, you know, AI is, you know, has some value, but don't forget about NI, natural intelligence. I think that really trumps. It's kind of like, you know, science is wonderful and, I mean, it has given us so much in our world, the modern way we live. But by the same token, nature usually trumps science. And so there's no substitute for studying both. And so, anyway, that's my take on it. And last question, did you hear about the nurse who gave an injection with the lights off?
No.
Yeah, it was a shot in the dark, but anyway, Doug, thank you so much. We just have a minute or two left, and I didn't have time to ask you about a good friend of mine. I don't know if you recall the movie star. He was a friend for over 15 years, Jim Nabors. He was a star.
Of course.
Yeah, and he, as you know, had a liver transplant, and I mean, I just think that, you know, and he lived so many more years than he would have otherwise. And I just, you know, hats off to you and other transplant surgeons, because you really are a magician physician. So thanks for devoting your career to transplant. And 30 years ago, that was in its infancy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was a different...
different time and
somewhat, a little bit more of a... Some would say a cowboy era.
Right. Well, thanks for being a pioneer in medicine. And give us the information. We just have less than a minute. So give us the book title and how to get it again.
It's the Process Manifesto, Improving Healthcare in a Complex World, and really the easiest place to get it is Amazon, although your local bookstore can certainly order it as well.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks, Dr. Slaky, for being with us. Appreciate it.
Okay. Happy Doctor's Day.
All right. Happy Doctor's Day to you, and happy Easter. I hope everybody... Well, I want to say a happy Easter to everybody, and have an excellent weekend and a healthy week. And we'll see you next week, same time, same station, 168 hours from right now. I'm David Snow, reminding you it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha, have a healthy week.